You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. As always, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, good brother?
Doing well. You know, just watching out for this weather because I'm thinking, okay, finally spring is fighting back.
Yeah.
Look at the forecast and nah.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm going to enjoy, you know, this weekend regardless.
My allergies are on 50 right now, so.
See, I was blessed not to have to worry about the pollen and the mold and all that stuff that's in the air. Like, I can just keep it moving.
Struggling out here in these streets. My man Longevity.
Hi.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Yeah?
Yeah. Just living my best failed life out here.
Oh, man.
Trying to do better.
Apparently you have to, so yeah, just keep plugging at it, man.
Sorry, hopefully,
you have other choices.
Hopefully I'll stop failing at life soon.
Mm-hmm. One day you will be successful.
Maybe. Oh, hopefully.
You just keep working hard.
Yeah. Just keep doing what you're doing, man.
Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Maybe? Okay.
Yeah, and you'll be just fine, buddy. We got your back.
Okay, thanks.
My man DJ J Dib, what's happening, man?
Salutations, what's happening?
Oh, man, I can't call. I see you with the fresh take, that Tuesday joint anniversary joint. I see you.
All right, yeah.
Repping the culture.
The culture, got to support.
Yeah. Got to support the home
family.
Team. Yeah, that's fam. Yeah,
indeed,
no doubt.
Indeed. Shout out to Jay Moore, is actually one of the members here at
Founding.
The New Old Head, so.
Is that safe to say founding member of Take That Tuesday? I would say so.
You know what? I don't even want to give myself that.
Okay, because, I respect it.
Shout out to our man Greg Granite, who's been on the show.
Good call.
You know, he was the first person to be on the microphone there. Like Nick, had, you know, in those early days, had to be, I wasn't sold on Indianapolis yet. I thought at one point, yeah, I'm probably going to move back home.
You back to trapping in St. Louis?
Yeah, that's what I was doing before I came here. I was trapping.
Trapping with the mixtapes.
Yeah, pretty much. I believe I said it. Take That Tuesday is part of the reason I call Indianapolis home.
Facts.
So,
it's a staple, man. Like, you are actually embedded here now, so.
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get started and talk about some, this is one of Lone's favorite things to talk about is good old rap beef and sparring and whatever we was calling in the last episode.
What's beef?
So. We talked about and broke down J. Cole and that Mid project and him.
Did we call it Mid?
No, nah, they cool. Didn't call it cool. Mid. I don't think it was cool. Mid.
He said the song was just like, all right.
Yeah. I thought the diss was Mid. Cool. But anyway,
it was like,
go ahead.
It was like the middle child.
Mm. You know? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
I see.
Jabs.
It was cool. I actually posed a question. Do we care if Drake makes a response or hops in and into whatever's going on? And right. It turns out that he actually did with this record called, I believe it's called Push Ups. Now, there is a conversation about the possibility of this being AI.
That concept has already been debunked.
Yep, I don't believe that. I know it's 100% him. My initial reaction was, there's some bars in there, but I don't know the Kendrick haters or the Kendrick people that don't, the cult of people that don't like him are just infatuated with this Push Ups. And I'm seeing it everywhere. Everybody's sharing it. It's the greatest thing ever. He got cooked. Kendrick's on the clock. What do y'all think, man? Terry, I'm going to come to you first, man. Just in terms of the level of the diss, and is this even, do we even care at this point? Because I feel like the moment may have already passed.
The thing about it is, okay, so we waited about 3 weeks for this song to come out. It came out. It's about 4 minutes and some change long.
It got leaked.
Well, got leaked, so to speak. So I was going to kind of get to
leaked.
That. So it was supposedly leaked. It's still not officially out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was on DSPs.
No, it's not officially out because when it first started popping up, there's actually two versions. There's an unmixed version and a mixed version.
Mm.
When it first started popping up, they were snatching it off the internet. Right. Like it was this big, you know what I'm saying, ordeal.
Like they did with your remix of that Kanye record?
Yeah, after 2 hours.
But who's snatching it, who's putting it up and snatching it down is essentially the same person.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a marketing thing in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not necessarily standing on business if you can't fess up to this being your song, even 4 or 5 days after the fact that it's been out. You've kind of alluded to it being yours, but that's neither here nor there. As far as the bars are concerned, he skated on there. I give him that.
A little bit.
But, and it wasn't just Kendrick either.
No, it wasn't. He addressed what, 3-4 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? He did what he was supposed to do. My whole thing is, at the end of the day, and I still stand on this, Kendrick dropped 30-40 seconds, and it's still topping everything that's came out because of the replay value. Mm-hmm. It's still being played every single day.
Good point.
These other songs, yeah, got everybody that's Drake's fans hype and in a tizzy because Drake has said something. But what we're doing is actually moving the goalposts towards Drake, because like another song came out that's supposedly AI from Kendrick.
Yeah, I think it's been confirmed that was AI.
Okay, so now they're saying since it didn't get the traction it was supposed, these are Drake fans talking.
Is that the new say? Oh,
yeah. Since it didn't get the traction, it's AI. Now we're saying it's AI.
Wow.
But you did the same thing, though.
Thank you.
So you
put, we thought that was AI, too.
You did the same thing. Since people hyped it up, now it kind of backed off it being AI. And now, even though you haven't went ahead and said that you did it, you haven't been trying to walk it back. So if it was AI and somebody else was getting paid off of streaming your song or whatever, however that works, then you would have said something or did something about it. But this made it in the hands of academics and made it in the hand of Maul and
Rory.
Mm-hmm. And they actually addressed it last week before it came out. They were talking about the song. They were alluding to it by saying certain things that was in the song before it came out. And obviously Joe Budden must have heard it too.
He definitely did. You could tell by his read.
Right. So he had heard it and he kind of bigged it up and all that stuff. But I mean, Drake did what he was supposed to do as far as actually answering, but is it too little too late? And not to mention, Kendrick has been getting at Drake for 10 plus years now.
You got him on the BET cypher.
Yeah, come on, man.
And not all of them were like subtle joints. Some of these were out in the open. I'm coming directly at you.
Yeah.
And we've never heard anything.
Nah.
Nothing.
Then Rick Ross jumped in the battle.
What
Rick
was that
Ross,
about?
That's
what
I was going to ask. Said, yo, it's not AI. I mean, I'm putting this on the DSP.
Drake said something to him.
What did Drake? There was
did
a part
you not listen to the diss?
I listened, but I was so hyped to see what he's going to say about Kendrick.
He addressed Rick Ross in there.
Okay. All right.
He addressed Rick Ross. He addressed
called Metro Boomin, a little drummer or something.
Yeah, he addressed Future.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed Rick Ross, Kendrick. He addressed everybody that pretty much said something, called it 20 versus 1. But call it what you want. Rick Ross's stuff is kind of funny to me.
No, it is funny. It is.
How you make everything that you put out rich, and even the diss records be like rich and extravagant as you trying to quote unquote diss somebody.
I mean, didn't you just say that now they're arguing over whose house is bigger?
Yeah, like, he literally said that.
See, now this is like, where it gets corny.
That's corny. That's 100% corny.
They're trading pretty much inbox posts with each other and posting them.
Just get together.
Kiss and make up, yeah, make another song.
I did find it quite entertaining when Drake told Metro Boomin to shut your ass up and make some drums. Yeah. I was like, whoa. These are things that really would hurt a producer's feelings.
And then to add to the petty, he actually sent the drum line to the front of Magic City Strip Club like yesterday or something like that. That's kind of cool. I like that.
There was like 4 or 5 lines that Drake had in that 3-minute song where I was like, that's kind of cool.
Kendrick still won, man, at the end of the day, in my personal opinion.
You talked about the part about the replay value, but I don't know if I've seen a situation where a 16 has started this big of a fire. It's only 1:16 on a record.
Control.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's done longer than that, though.
Yeah. Kendrick's done it more than once.
He blacked out. That control was like 3 minutes, though.
He blacked out on the BET cypher, though.
He did.
Look,
he
this
did.
Is the thing. He blacked out so serious on Control, we forget that Jay Electronica was even on that song.
Come on. And Big Sean.
Was Big Sean on it?
Oh, that's right.
Big Sean was on there, yeah.
I don't know who else was on
it. But this verse, this just for a 16 on a feature, just a 16 on a feature to start all of this, he doesn't have to me. He's still in the driver's seat. He doesn't have to say a word.
Drake said that it's been going on since before this song, on the song that he allegedly had never dropped or whatever's going on with it.
Well, I don't know, man. A moment might have. I thought Cole was in the right spot to just.
That's what we all wanted. I wanted the Kendrick J. Cole battle to jump off. And now we're here. I mean, of course, Drake had to have said something. But now we got all these other people in it, too. And it's kind of muddying it up and turning corny.
Well, honestly, with how serious it got just randomly on a Saturday afternoon, I can see where J. Cole was like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah.
Maybe
clearly
maybe,
he didn't.
Maybe for the people who are like, man, come on, J. Cole, you let us down. I was like, no, nah, he might have done the right thing.
He should have just not said nothing.
Yeah. I think that was his point.
Yeah.
Should have never jumped in there to begin with.
Yeah, I think that's like I said last week. I think that's all it is. He's just like, man, why did I do this?
Yeah, now Drake is looking like the knight in shining armor that came and picked up the sword to carry on.
Man, I've never
harder though.
There are so many there's so many people that they're making it seem monumental. Like he said, the knight in shining armor is a great example because it's like he rode in on a white horse and just wiped out everybody. And I'm like, fam.
Let me explain the irony. It's a lot of people who don't really care about lyricism trying to say that the lyricism that Drake has is so much better than Kendrick's. You don't listen to lyrics. No.
Thank you, Lone. Thank you.
It's crazy how you don't listen to lyrics.
I couldn't have said it.
Except when it benefits you God, to say man. That these lyrics are better. All right.
You get my blood pressure up now because the people that are making the most about this don't pay attention to lyrics.
Yes. Supposedly.
Like, you hate lyrics. Like, you talk against people that can rap well.
That's, I wouldn't say hate. I wouldn't say hate lyrics.
Hate might be too strong, but you tend to address, troll, or whatever you want to call it.
Downplay the art of lyricism.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm like, if that's your whole existence, why do you care so much about what's going on now? I'm confused by that.
I don't know.
You know, because when he said Chip and Dale, he was talking about Pluto, which is
the dog,
Future, the dog. So that's talking about him. And they always play tricks on Pluto in the cartoon and blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to make Drake so deep.
And the album's called For the Dogs.
Nah, the Kendrick
don't forget
line,
about the rescue
man, region. I still. Hey, the line all. The line when Kendrick ended his verse without dogs getting buried, they're going to K without these nines, they're going to see Pet Cemetery is the hardest line out of everything that's came out. Sorry.
Look, you got to understand, Drake is from Toronto.
Sure is.
A nice situation in Toronto. I'm not begrudging him that because I grew up in a very nice situation myself.
He's probably from Mississauga. He's probably from a suburb.
He's from Degrassi.
Cole, you know, Fayetteville.
Yep.
You know, I know there's a rough part of everywhere in America. So 100%. Maybe Fayetteville, you know, got some killers out there. But Kendrick is from Compton.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look.
We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Yeah. Compton.
Compton has a legacy of letting people know on these records.
Yeah, man.
And there's an aggressiveness, even with all of his therapy, even with all of his, you know, trying to be a better person, Compton's gonna come see you. And a lot of y'all, you know, you think it's all good, and then Compton comes sees you, and that's when J. Cole's like, you know what, man, it don't sit right in my spirit. I don't think
it was going to go there, but I see what you're saying.
No, I'm not even talking about from no violence and confrontational, but, you know, Ice Cube is from Compton.
Yeah.
And Ice Cube took out his own group who was from Compton.
Yeah, no, so they didn't respond.
Yeah, so if you think Kendrick is going to, you know, is going to ease up on people who aren't even from around here.
Come on.
And when
man.
You say, I say from around here, from around his way, you got to understand these dudes from Compton are just different.
And then the main point that Drake was trying to make is the whole Kendrick is pretty much being pimped by his record label, and he's making him do these songs that he doesn't want to do. He's hopping on songs with Maroon 5,
Taylor Swift,
and he has to cut the check to TDE, and he's not on TDE anymore.
Has been Thank for you. A while.
Yeah, so it's almost like
and Bad Blood
slaps. It's mute. It's a mute point at this. I mean, even if that was a situation, because you've been in a similar situation, if it's not the same right now.
Well,
because you have a lot of cuts and people that are in your pocket as well.
Drake is, if it's like we talked about this before, Drake saying this doesn't make any sense because he's more of what he's calling Kendrick than what Kendrick is.
Universal cash money. What is
he's young money. He's making it appear
it's a lot of slashes in your contract.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah. He's making it seem like his product isn't being chopped down like everybody else's would be. Like, it's not, you don't own it. Like, it's not solely you that's doing all this.
Like, Drake is going to call another rap artist a pop star.
Bruh,
yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
What?
So you,
and this is a bar.
So like, your angle to go against Kendrick Lamar as Drake is to call him out about doing features. You're the person that's talking about
please,
that.
Because if Drake could get himself a Taylor Swift feature, you don't think he would jump
come
on that,
man? Drake,
come
could do,
on now.
Drake could do anything.
Kanye want a Taylor Swift feature right now.
I want a Taylor Swift feature.
Yeah, well, we support you too.
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly
what it's gonna
give
be.
Me
but,
a Taylor Swift. Get me out of the ghetto.
I don't care if Jay,
I got dreams too.
I don't care if Jay Moore is the damn bartender in the video.
I'll
I don't
do
care.
Something.
Hey, yeah, cut that check. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jay Moore.
I go out on tour, do a little show, do my little feature. Yeah,
all right.
Come back here with the bag,
be a roadie.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do something.
We might have a better chance of making that happen.
No, we don't.
Jay Moore, I want you to.
I've said too much on this show.
No. Hey, we want you to, hey, that's 50 pieces of silver that I would not judge you for, mm-hmm. sir. If you brought that on back to the
did
hood,
you say 50 pieces of silver.
Yeah. He'll take it.
I've referred to people taking the 50 pieces of silver.
That's 50 pieces of silver that I would.
I said that to somebody. They're like, "You mean the shekels?" There. I was like, "Oh yeah, but I didn't realize anybody
shekels."
Was
gonna,
yeah, I'm looking that way when you take that 50 because I know it's going to pay.
I come back. I have Taylor Swift T-shirts for all y'all. I have all the merch. We wear that.
Screw the merch. I want a satchel of money.
Yeah,
give me a satchel of silver, man.
We'll wear it on the show.
All we really need is for her to put on a new old head T-shirt or hat or something.
That's all it takes.
Give one to Travis Kelce. We'd be so happy.
I wonder what our follower spike would be if Taylor Swift just rocked a new old heads T-shirt for however long.
Charlie needs to wear it for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and a picture
just get a picture. Yeah, just wear it to a Kansas City Chiefs game where Travis Kelce catches two or three touchdowns. We'd be all right.
Yeah, that's it.
We might jump up. We might go through the roof.
It'll be a whole article written the next day. Who are the new old heads that were on?
Yeah, Jay
Taylor's
Moore,
shirt.
Get on that because I'm tired of being a failure out here.
And I want to move out of the ghetto.
Yeah, man. That's two things that we have accomplished on this show thus far tonight. Lone is a failure, and Jay Moore wants to get out the ghetto.
I'm tired of eating beans and rice. I want steak with mine.
Yeah. You don't want no potted meat anymore.
He's done
not
with that. Potted meat.
Hey, you have to be of a certain age. I don't want to say age because shouts, potted meat is throwback to me.
Demographic even.
Demographic.
Shouts to my homie Kenny Blanco.
Man, I was. Shout out to Kenny Blanco. Kenny Blanco.
There's a story with potted meat. And
potted meat is about.
It's too much to get into.
It is.
Potted meat really is trash, though, but everybody's had it.
Depends on how you freak it.
I don't know if I agree with this. Lupe is someone that would be qualified to say such, but there is an interview that he was with. There was some audio was leaked where he was talking about comparing Kendrick and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lupe, if anybody's qualified from a lyrical standpoint or a rapper, he's qualified. We talking about like God level, top tier MC, in my personal opinion, love Lupe. All time great. But he says that he thinks, because the gentleman was asking him, do you look at Kendrick as a scary MC lyrically? Do you think he's a scary MC? He said, nah. And then he said the exact bar was, I think Kendrick is a better technically skilled performer, but I don't think he's a better rapper. When I hear technically skilled performer, I think that goes into levels of what we talk about when we talk about artists, creatives, the whole.
What Lupe in pretty much encompasses.
I agree.
Didn't Lupe say his favorite rapper was Ja Rule?
At one point in time, he actually answered that.
He did answer that. He answered us on that one.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
In the comment section.
Yeah, he answered us on that one.
And he said he sticks by it, so.
But, I mean, he's also, Lupe has, when Control came out, said that it really wasn't all that. So it's like,
it's
I'm not saying,
it's consistent.
I'm not saying he has a vendetta against Kendrick or anything
like
that.
I never thought the Control verse was what everybody made it to be either.
It was just because he was talking, you know what I'm saying, brolic.
Yeah.
More about the name drops.
At the end of the day, yeah, name dropping and pretty much got on the track. That,
saying I'm the king
featured.
Of New York.
Yeah, I'm featured on this track and I'm telling you I'm better than all y'all. It was a ballsy move.
I guess
to Terry's point, the technically skilled part coming from Lupe is a little weird because, like you said, he's Like, he's that.
They're
just
kind of cut from the same type of cloth.
Raps exceptionally well while being the technically skilled and all the rest of the stuff. He has the concepts, the cool, like all this stuff. Like, he's actually the person that I think he's trying to maybe paint Kendrick as. I don't know. I'm just going off the vibe of what he was saying. You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I agree or not. I mean, Lupe is definitely qualified to speak on it. You know what I mean? So
that part.
Maybe he's speaking on it from an angle that I'm not familiar. I mean, I heard what you said, but but I mean, I've never really thought Kendrick to be this super duper lyrical rapper like Lupe.
No, I wouldn't say that.
He's
not.
And when Drake does rap really well, typically when he tries to rap super well. So
true.
And I would say that he uses more similes and stuff, like clever similes, than what maybe Kendrick would do. Kendrick is more metaphorical. And I think
storytelling, Kendrick got him.
For sure. Kendrick is more metaphorical, and I think Drake is less metaphorical. He's more in your face, kind of like what a Lil Wayne is in a way.
Punchlines
and stuff like that. Yeah. Kendrick doesn't really hit you with crazy punchlines.
Because
someone
posed the question to me.
Maybe that's what he means. Yeah.
I think that's where he's going. And somebody asked me, they said, well, name your favorite Kendrick punchline. I'm like,
it's not Big Three, it's Big Me.
It's like, I start thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if I have a punchline, but his discography is better than everybody else's. So I don't know. Like,
He's not really a punchline rapper.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I think that's just probably what he's alluding to, would be my guess.
Because he did say, he's like, yeah, Drake is more dangerous. And I knowing Lupe, he's like, he's just a better at what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that probably appeals to him better because Lupe is already a monster.
But so. I think I probably personally would disagree that Drake is more dangerous than Kendrick. And I think Kendrick has showed us that.
Hey, yeah, I think he showed us that too.
I think he's
multiple times.
He's popped out multiple times.
Because there's nothing that I've heard from Drake from a lyrical dangerous standpoint, like in this type of situation where it's like he just shut everything down. Kendrick has, like you said, even if I don't think the control verse was as crazy as everybody says it was, he did kind of shut everything down.
Maybe
he did.
Everything.
And Drake has backed down. I mean, he backed down from Pusha T. I don't care how you cut it, whether Pusha T is as successful as Drake is. Pusha T handed him his walking papers, and he didn't. He really ain't said nothing since.
Facts.
And, I mean, Kendrick has, I mean, I guess you can call it baiting him or literally calling him out for a while now. I mean, when he was talking about the rollout on To Pimp a Butterfly, that first song was addressing Drake. You know what I'm saying? And Drake addressing Ghost Riders and all that stuff, he has yet to say anything until 3 days ago. And everybody's, oh, Kendrick got to hurry up and respond. It took him 10 years to respond.
You know, all these people at one point were friends. You know,
Kendrick got him in a tizzy off of 16 that Terry made a great point that's still being in the heavy rotation.
You know, I'm just saying, like, yeah, he's right. You know,
so he's winning.
But, like, with the whole Lupe thing, I think he... Right now, I don't know if any of these guys are thinking about what Lupe's talking about.
I think Lupe's trying to bait Kendrick into a war with him.
You know, and I think that, you know, and
I'd
think
be okay with that one.
That might be interesting.
But I'm a Kendrick fan, love Lupe. If that was to happen, my advice to Kendrick would be very, I love Kendrick, but be very, very careful messing with Lupe. Don't mess with him. That's the last person you want to mess with. I will leave Lupe alone. Just my personal.
He's a rapper's rapper.
Yeah, yeah. I will leave Lupe alone. I don't think he's gonna do it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if all of a sudden it becomes
Kendrick stuff is personal.
Lupe wanted to jump on people, then I'm honestly here for that. That might be interesting.
Yeah,
but
now if Lupe start dragging people, I'll sign up for that. Because it's going to be very well done. It's going to be very clever.
He's like, I saw you at those political rallies.
All right, man. Well, there was something else that I shared.
Shout out to Lupe, though.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out to Lupe. Legend, man.
Absolutely.
I still think he doesn't get the P's that he deserves, but that's neither here nor there.
Man, that paperwork was weird.
Paperwork?
At Atlantic Records.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two of the best albums I've ever
heard.
His 1-2 punch was crazy.
Them first two?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Because he would do stuff that was so cryptic, like you'd mess around. You could almost do like numerology and number ciphers on his lyrics, and he was very...
jump in there, Long. What you got?
What was that record that he did? I don't remember what album it was on. It was either The Cool or Food and Liquor, where it was like both verses were like the same thing, but he just kind of like changed the tense of what he was talking about, or like what he was. I don't remember the.
Was it?
It was like changed the intent of who he was talking about in a way. I don't remember the name of it, but
it wasn't hurt. It wasn't Hurt Me Soul.
I think it might
Hurt
be
Me Soul.
I think it might
Hurt
be,
Me Soul is crazy.
I think it might be Hurt Me Soul. Because that's what I was thinking of, but I don't.
Hurt Me Soul is stupid. Yeah,
I was just like, the first time I heard that, I was like, wow. Like, he made something so simple, so intricate.
Bruh.
And, yeah.
If you haven't,
for all my cool young history, that story is crazy.
If you haven't, please go listen to Food and Liquor, top to bottom. And just enjoy. And The Cool. And just read the liner notes and all the rest of it to understand the story. That boy put his foot into them first two albums, man. Yeah, phenomenal records. But I'd also put into our chat about Lupe responded to a tweet. The tweet was, ends that think lyricism is all about punchlines and metaphors are the worst people to talk to.
Okay. Are we talking about rap music?
Thank you. And then Lupe chimes in. He says, lyricism heavily includes and demands above average competence in constructing punchlines and metaphors.
Yep.
If Gordon Ramsay ain't trying to hear you rave about your ramen noodle with hot dogs in it recipes, we shouldn't have to casually accept spectators stripping essential elements from the craft as mere trifles that can be done without.
No.
Take that barless nine flow delivery fest you call rapping to the block.
Yo.
Or up the block, excuse me.
I don't know even why people even say stuff like that, bro. That's a part of it.
Yeah, it's. Have you guys noticed this newer wave of people that are like really standing out and like they. And I feel like I understand where they're coming from to a degree, but it's like people that will say that the lyricism element in emceeing just.
Doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter, and it's like overhyped.
Yeah,
and,
we talked about the vibe. Yeah, the vibe.
It's
a few episodes ago.
I see that a lot more. People be like, oh, and I think they're talking about rappity rappers in general that just rap and can't make songs out of it, which I understand. But yeah,
I hate to say that people are being dumbed down. Like,
shouts to Lupe
from top to bottom. Yeah, shouts to Lupe.
Good call.
That's literally what's going on. It's like they feel like. If a music has a certain element of, I have to think too hard. This isn't fun anymore. They shun it.
Yeah.
He senses
almost instantly too.
Yeah. They would rather hear something that doesn't make any sense because they don't have to think about it, or something that's just more catchy.
Yeah. I think this is the first time like since I've been, you know, partaking in hip hop that I've really kind of seen it skewed more to the side of people more agreeing with the vibe as opposed to the actual talent and everything that's a part of it. So I think that's just interesting to observe.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this up too. I think people are confusing what a ghostwriter is with actually being
a collaborator.
Yeah.
Good call.
Right. Because the reason why I bring that up is because there's been with this whole Drake and Kendrick back and forth. Somebody posted something that stated that this particular person had wrote something on Kendrick's project.
Right.
Just because somebody is credited on your project does not mean that they wrote or are considered a ghostwriter. The whole term about being a ghostwriter is you're not going to be in the liner notes.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? You got paid. You had a contract that was separate from what actually is shown to the people.
With an NDA.
Yep. Exactly.
Or it'll be like, you know, because everyone knows that Jay-Z wrote Still D.R.E.
Come on, yeah.
You know, and when I remember getting the CD single when I was working in radio, and I see S. Dot Carter on this Aftermath CD. So I knew what it was. Some of them, the ghostwriters, they're not even really hiding.
Yeah. But like a for real ghostwriter, like if somebody's trying to hide something, they're not going to give that person a credit.
But they used to
be. Because they knew. I mean, Dr. Dre is not, he's never been the one writing his lyrics.
Right.
It's always been either Ice Cube or Easy, or in that case, Jay-Z, or even Snoop.
But this is before a lot of times people would go through the liner notes super heavy.
Yeah.
Like, so, of course, I know what S. Dot Carter, you know, I'm not tripping. Even when I talked to the record rep at the time, I was like, oh, okay, I know what it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a lot of times there was S. Dot Carter on stuff, and Jay-Z wasn't famous enough to where we knew that S. Dot Carter was is, you know, the ghostwriter.
Yeah. Like Rick Ross was a ghostwriter for Diddy at one point in time.
Yeah.
Skills is a ghostwriter
for Diddy.
For Diddy. So but voice, he doesn't even have credits to show that he was writing this.
Yeah. Ness wrote a lot for Diddy.
Fiend was writing for Trina, of all people.
He was writing for a lot of No Limit, wasn't he?
Fiend did a lot of ghostwriting.
But then, like, you know, because I actually, at one point, like, I talked to Fiend, and he was like, I would drop hints in the raps that I wrote for other people. He wrote Trina's verse for the remix of Webby's I Need a Bad And, you know, when he said, I put the lyrics, you know, the cornbread and the cabbage, so anybody who listened and paid attention to me putting the cornbread in the cabbage.
I've said that before.
Yeah, exactly. So he would drop little things in there to let people know that I wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the ghostwriting thing is kind of crazy because there's a lot of people that keep their lights on with their ghostwriting.
For sure.
Facts.
I think a lot of people are, to Terry's point, I think it goes even deeper. I think there's like an intentional, people are also trying to equate two things that don't equate to each other. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're trying to equate Kendrick Lamar, who's openly has multiple collaborators on multiple albums, especially when you think like To Pimp a Butterfly or just anything. If you just look at the liner notes, lots of
musicians everywhere
for sure.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to equate the fact that Kendrick has collaborators with ghostwriting verses.
Correct.
And those, or just writing a verse for somebody else. And those are two completely different things. Yeah. And I think it just goes a little bit deeper.
I saw exactly what Terry's talking about, because
to defend Drake is what this is.
It's all about defending Drake.
And what is said
is y'all better keep the same energy. That's to defend Drake, right.
But it's not the same energy.
It's not.
Like, because now it's coming out allegedly that Lil Yachty has written verses for Drake. Lil Yachty hasn't been credited for those verses, but there are, what are they called?
Reference tracks.
Of him rapping songs that Drake ended up putting out. So that is ghostwriter energy.
Yeah.
Facts.
Especially if Lil Yachty may have been listed on this album as a, what did he have Lil Yachty listed as on that last album? I can't remember.
I don't know.
It wasn't as a ghostwriter. He didn't have liner credits for these songs.
So he wasn't listed
as... his real name is put in there.
Oh, but not as a feature, though.
No, not as a feature, but like apparently.
But now I don't think he is on that track.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
From my understanding, or how I describe a ghostwriter, is somebody that you don't know wrote this verse at all.
And you're trying to keep it that way.
Right. You're trying to keep it that way. There's a whole reason they're referred to as a ghostwriter. A ghostwriter isn't somebody that's getting credited because you don't see it. They don't want
you
to
somebody
see
else
it.
That does.
And is this something, do we think is specific to hip hop? Because, like, you know, we know that Jackson 5 didn't write them songs. We don't care because it was, you know,
they performed.
I want to say the term of ghostwriting actually came out and started with hip hop. Yeah, because I don't remember. Every other genre, hell, you have rap. Well, singers have whole albums and they didn't write anything on them.
Look, this is literally the way the music business is set up.
Yeah,
when you talk about publishing, it's about songwriters and performers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's split down the middle. That's why it's 50-50 like that. So it's like that. Yeah, I think maybe this ghostwriter thing. I think to your point about last week when you're talking about hip hop is always built on competition and stuff like that. It became just kind of a thing that, you know, you write your own verses, you do your own stuff. And it just from that brolic wanting to have the respect of being able to do everything yourself, that kind of create, in my opinion, that's probably where this. If I were to guess, that's probably where it came from. It's just the wanting to have the respect for doing everything in that manner.
And I think that's
opposed to different genres where, you know, it's different.
And I think that's where a lot of the disdain from Kendrick came from with this whole Drake situation, is because it's always been a rumor that he's had ghostwriters writing for him,
which has followed him.
And if you're in the industry and you know the ins and outs, you probably know, yeah, he does have ghostwriters.
Yeah.
And he's parading around like he's the greatest one out here.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that such and such wrote this track. Like when he was talking about a light pack, they're saying that Daylight or whatever his name
is.
They're saying that he was low key referring to him writing for Kendrick. And he didn't deny it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he would be considered a ghostwriter because he's not credited in any of this. Right. This, you know what I'm saying?
Was
the public knowledge.
Was that towards Kendrick or somebody or Cole?
No, that was towards Drake.
Oh, that was toward Drake.
Yeah.
So Kendrick said that towards Drake?
Right.
That
day was a light pack.
Oh, okay.
Your best was a light pack.
Yeah.
Meaning that Drake's best stuff was written by Daylit.
Yeah.
Got you. I thought you were saying the other thing. Okay.
Yeah. So, and these are people that aren't necessarily credited, but Daylit kind of alluded to, you should have dropped the other disc.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? Yeah. I saw that.
So it's like, I'm not telling you that I'm a ghostwriter, but I'm telling
you. But I'm telling you that I'm a ghostwriter.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. I just didn't know what it was referring to when I read it. So
yeah, but people for some reason, like you were stating, are confusing composers or somebody that helps write a song.
They'll see a producer's name. Producer's name is going to be listed as the writer. So does that mean that the producers are, I don't know.
Look, everybody who's sampled on a record is given a writing credit there.
Facts.
Yeah. Anybody has any type of participation in a record is typically given a writer's.
Like, I remember when they tried to come after Beyonce for something, and it was like, look at all the writers she has for this.
Granted, it was like 33.
Bro, it was
a gang of them. It was a lot. But
you ever seen Adele's credits? Take a look at hers.
I bet it's super up there, too.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about those type of artists like that.
Yeah. But true. I think it comes from a different type of culture, too, to your point.
100%.
I just don't think it's looked at in that manner. I think it's more of a collaborative nature in that way. And I think that's the difference in Kendrick's albums a lot of times, too, is it is more collaborative. There's a lot of people.
Instrumental.
A lot of people eating off of one album as opposed to.
Good call.
And I guess maybe there are other people eating just secretly on these other albums.
I mean, so,
yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. I remember seeing the interview with.
I'm never convinced Drake has written his own stuff.
You said you ain't going on that?
Even with the Quentin Miller stuff, you know, and all that stuff from back in the day, you know, I don't
that kind of just swept that under the rug.
I know. I don't know. I don't really care. But
it's true. Neither. It's at the end of the day, but it's just that you can't.
But the double standard I do care about.
You can't be out here acting like you're the greatest thing out here. And
are you getting lobs?
It takes you off of some of those lists, even the consideration.
Absolutely.
If you got a lot of reference tracks by your name.
That's essentially playing with steroids.
You know, that's kind of
that's really what it is.
I think that's probably why Drake ranks so low on our list, realistically, because he's not up there very high.
Yeah, but Drake, his perception, the pop part of it, which people for some reason think is a diss and try to fight. I think as he continues to perform and continues to become legendary.
And continues to want to be compared to Michael Jackson.
Thank you. That part of him is starting to slowly overshadow the rap part. Yeah, what do we always say? Yeah, we know he can rap, but the other part is the part.
Yeah.
That's what makes him such a phenomenal artist. It's that part. It's not the rap.
For sure.
So, you know.
Yeah. He's a pop artist.
I just wanted to kind of. Kind of clear the air on the whole ghostwriting versus.
No, that was a good one.
Yeah, that's good talk right there.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Lone, I want to run the video that you shared from @FlagrantShow, I believe, on TikTok. I think this conversation is really dope. I'm glad you shared that one. I want to run that one and maybe we can
react to
it. Doped in a mug. It's good.
Andrew Schultz has a show called Flagrant.
This is Andrew Schultz, and you said the show is called Flagrant. I know it's a TikTok clip.
Yeah.
And he's talking about hip hop and the possibility of it perhaps losing its edge.
Mm.
I think the conversation is very good. So let's take a look at this one and then we can react.
I feel like hip hop's going through what rock music went through. Rock music came out and it was like the rebellious, like rejection of society. And I think hip hop came in and did the same thing. It was the rejection of what you should do. Now I think hip hop has become the predominant art form for America.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with that is it's corny. Now, country's popping because it is rebellious. Liking country is like you coming on here saying you like Donald Trump. Everybody's going to be like, oh, that's kind of crazy, but also it's kind of fire, but oh, that's crazy. Being a person that's out here like, yo, country's cool. I want to wear the cowboy boots. I'm going to wear the cowboy hat. That's sagging your jeans now.
That's wearing
a bandana.
That's putting
on a grill. Acting as if you're this country hillbilly motherfucker. Is a rebellion against modern, not even modern society, popular culture, which is dominated by hip hop.
I also think rejection of the generation before you's culture,
which is dominated by hip hop.
What y'all think about that?
There's some credence to that.
Think so?
Because at one point, really, hip hop was. Look, I come at my age as being the oldest of the new old heads, and coming through the system of radio and seeing how a lot of the OGs viewed hip hop. You have to understand, like, this music was specifically for this time. It was like, wait a minute. We don't want to lend our voices in any kind of credibility to hip hop as black people, because we're working through our own respectability politics. Because here it is, like, okay, so we'll take Run DMC. We'll go all the way back to that. All right, here I am as a record company executive. I finally got my expense account. I got my suits. I'm coming in here, and you're trying to tell me I'm you want me to try to sell these guys who have on Godfather hats and leather blazers? These dudes look like liquor store robbers to me. I'm not taking this into the white power establishment and trying to say this is what I'm going to sell. So I'm going to distance myself as much from this as possible. So really, hip hop was about rebellion, not only to the white power structure, but to the black bourgeoisie part of corporate America who finally had made it to a point where they thought that respectability politics was the way to take them to the next level.
Right. Do-gooders.
Exactly. Do-gooders. So now those same people who are worried about respectability politics, if you just shifted a little, you know, 30 to 40 years later, when you look at Snoop Dogg as America's number one pitch man, when you look at, you know, we're able to go ahead and take Megan Thee Stallion and put her on Saturday Night Live, what is rebellious about hip hop at this point?
Right.
You know, I don't see the rebel. Like, you know, it used to be hip hop would talk about, would talk bad about the president, no matter who he was.
Facts. It's politically charged.
You know, facts. It didn't matter if he was, if it was Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush. Like, we didn't have no love
for Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. We had no love for the president because, facts. You know, the president is always going to be against us because we're at the bottom. You know, now
you wanna
people taking pictures. They want to go hang out with Kamala Harris and play, you know, Sexy Red at the vice president's house. You know, there's not the
Ski-hee.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, now this part of me is very disappointed in hip hop and how it's been, you know, it's so mainstream because I come from a different era. And so when he says that thing about the cowboy boots and saying, hey, you know, when people say, I kind of rock with Donald Trump, that is a rebellious spirit. Especially if you're talking about somebody black. Now, I don't agree because I know enough about Donald Trump to where that's not a rebellious spirit. You know, you're still within the mainstream when you're talking that. But for people who are not as learned, you know, it's like, oh, man, he's wild. He's talking about rocking with Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot of people who are in hip hop right now who are like, you know, especially if you're a part of one of, is a lot of confluence of things, like you talk about, you're part of the manosphere, you know, you want to talk about hip hop, you want to talk about certain things, and then like you align yourself with these conservative voices that really, like, all of a sudden everybody wants to be like, you know what, maybe Candace Owens isn't that bad.
Right.
Now, knowing what I know about Candace Owens and some of the anti-Semitic things she said, what I know about her anti-blackness, you know.
They're like surface level Candace that was on The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I was like, yo, you did not challenge her on The Breakfast Club, where you should have challenged her, like, you know, when she takes up for any time a policeman shoots an unarmed black person, she always takes up for the police.
It's like, where were you the last 7 years?
Exactly. You know? So I do see where there's a lack of rebellion in hip hop because we're trying to get to the bag because, you
Everybody's
know,
friendly.
Everything. Because first of all, you're not selling no records because everything's on streaming. You know, you're trying to get these brand deals. And when you're talking about brand deals, and I talked a little bit about it in the last episode, these brand deals are handed down to you by Fortune 500 companies. And so these Fortune 500 companies are aligned with a lot of these political parties. And that's where their donations come from. So you can't have too much rebellion in your music when you're talking about aligning yourself with brand deals, because that's the only way you can get money. Because unless you're out here touring heavy and you got this real incredible.
Which some people are.
Some people are. But, you know, once again, you can't sell enough records. You can't generate enough streams for you to even give yourself an independent voice. What, and that's the problem with hip hop right now.
What jumped out to me was the fact that he said everything is corny. The word corny goes to what you're talking about in terms of, I guess, anti-dangerous or not being as provocative or whatever you want to call it. But mainstream hip hop, that's the, to me, that's the perfect word for it. Agree or not. But I think he hit the nail on the head when he said everything is corny now. Lone talked about, one of y'all mentioned friendliness and how friendly everything is now and how everything is about getting a bag and I need to get this meal attached to my name or get with this Fortune 5. It's all about getting that money. The lack of substance, the lack of anything that would have been 20 or 30 years ago is completely gone now as it relates to this genre. Yeah, you'll have it on the underground, but for the mainstream, he's 100% correct. And I think corny is the perfect word, in my personal opinion, to attach to it.
Look, when Ice Cube...
Yeah, I can agree to that to a certain extent, though. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, even the mainstream country, from the true country fans, they say it's not real country. Okay. They say it's pop.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, essentially, we're on the outside looking into the country genre, sure.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So we might
We don't really know how it works over there. Mm-hmm.
I can't speak on it.
Only thing we know about is, well, I wouldn't say the only thing, but I mean, you had the Tracy Chapman joint that did really well on the countryside.
Yep.
You had the Jelly Roll joint that did very well on the countryside, and of course, the mainstream country artists. But then you have one of the biggest pop stars in the world has crossed over to the countryside. And that being Beyonce.
Right.
But if you listen to her album, it's not 100% country.
I was going
to
say partially.
Yeah, in fact, the last part of it is just stuff that was left over from the last album. It sounds like to me.
Right. And I think it's like a 3-part series. But I think it kind of goes back to, remember we was having a conversation about Afrobeat and how it makes you feel. And it is, I mean, we can accredit it to a vibe, not the same type of vibe that we were discussing with rap music and lyrics, so to speak, but it's definitely a vibe that you feel from that Afrobeat that makes you want to keep going back and listening to it and getting them record deals. I still don't think that they're going to topple hip hop, but they're rising in the ranks. I don't think hip hop will just cease to exist and become just this corny thing that people don't rock with, like certain types of rock music, because you don't really hear anything about rock music anymore.
Right.
Like, it just stopped.
Or maybe we don't hear about it.
Maybe, because to your point, I don't. Maybe there's a...
But even like, I mean, there would be a pop rock song here and there.
I want to make sure, because Lone shared this in our Discord, I want to make sure I get his thoughts on this actual video in terms of, you know, what you just think about his assessment. Is that a fair assessment, or do you have any thoughts that we didn't talk about?
No, I agree with what he said. I also think that... I think pop music and mainstream music in general is just corny by default. Because if you think of like what's cool in general, it's typically what not everybody is doing. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of merit to what he said. I shared it just because it was similar to some conversational points that we had, but I feel like he kind of hit the nail on the head with it realistically.
Great explanation.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's some truth to it, but in the same token, like I think I kind of take for granted the type of listeners we are, and the type of hip hop and any genre we listen to for that matter.
Yeah.
It's not always just mainstream stuff.
No,
because like you just put me onto somebody before the show that was really dope. You know what I'm saying? So these aren't mainstream artists, and I don't see them going anywhere. As far as the corny, thing, you know what I'm saying, and I don't think it's gonna be whack to listen to that.
Right,
whereas
rock
and roll kind of took a side where just everything that came out was kind of corny.
But again, even to that, we don't know, right? Because we're not rockheads like that. I was a mainstream rock person when I was a kid, but I wasn't like deep in the trenches of understanding every indie grunge, you know, from every city and everything like we understand hip hop. So I don't feel like we understand that to speak on it almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think it really just comes down to like hip hop's not going anywhere. Hip hop is not going anywhere. It's just like, I don't think any of these genres, the root of the genre, are really ever going anywhere. It's just like, I think the popularity just fluctuate. Hip hop just happens to be at the top right now. And the hip hop stuff that we call hip hop is just up there. So that's what's being criticized. And sure, country pop music is going to, I think it's just the pop. It's like the dash pop on all these genres is just what that is. And so like now it's going to be country pop. Fighting with hip hop pop.
Man, it's about to be very interesting because...
And I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either, but it's about to be interesting with Beyonce and the artists that she featured on her album. They're all charting. So there were some black country artists that Beyonce featured on her album.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think every single one of those artists are charting right now.
Well, that's what's up.
That's good for them. Yeah. Good for them.
What's interesting about it is I have this weird, it's like a what's like fake news? What's it called?
Fox News?
Fox News.
Well played.
But
well played.
What's the title for that type of?
Fake.
Satire. There's the satire Facebook page that keeps popping up in my feed for some reason. And it's always like, because it's funny. That's probably what it is. So it'll be like Luke Combs told Beyonce that she can go somewhere and shove her country album up her butt. And like people will believe this stuff. And they're all in the comments. Good for him. Yay for him.
Yeah.
This Beyonce, I'm a glutton for that type of stuff for some reason. So I'm going through reading all the comments. It's going to be a crazy situation here because you got these black artists that are making country music popular on the black side of things.
Right.
The people that are the original country artist fans. And I mean, that's another story in itself.
I have
requests. That are going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because these artists are getting pub.
Right.
And like, you know how black America, when we latch onto something, we really latch onto it. So like this summer, you can probably guarantee there's going to be a lot of cowboy parties and parties where people were dressing up in denims and cowboy hats and
boots. Beyonce album parties.
All kind of stuff.
The album theme parties. Yep.
People are about to be really upset at black America.
Look, at my place of business, there are people, we get requests for Texas Hold'em, and it doesn't fit into anything that we do on a Saturday night.
See? But it still go up, though, don't it?
Probably don't play it.
There's a remix.
Got Atomic Dog.
Yeah, that we can get in there.
So the OG version doesn't really go off like that.
I mean, it probably would if we played it. But
y'all haven't tried it yet.
But what are we going to do with that?
Some other songs on her album that can actually go in the club, though. But
and the thing is, there are records on there. I was like, you know what I don't like? And of course, Dolly Parton said nothing about it. And she said, I liked it.
Jolene?
I don't like Jolene and turn it into like I make that whole lean. No, I'm good.
I mean,
she actually does chuckle a lot alone on that one.
Hey, Dolly actually does an interlude before the song
comes on. Yeah, I did hear that, but it was just like.
How much was that?
Jolene is one of those country songs that I liked as
before, exactly. Yeah,
you know, I'm so sometimes, all right, white folks, I see you.
Yeah.
you know, this is a show where we address OG classics or records that sometimes need to be left alone. We talk about that on the show.
Yeah, so
maybe is this one? Are you saying this is one of those?
Jolene was fine as it was before you made it to something.
Unless you can like make it just as good, why do you touch things?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta just leave it alone, man. Let the OG just ride out in the sunset.
Yeah, but watch out for them cowboy parties.
Theme parties is about to be up.
Denim and boots parties is gonna hit.
Denim and trap. Watch cow. Well, it's gonna be country.
Yeah,
country and cripping.
You got one.
Stop.
This makes me uncomfortable.
I'm not saying I'm going to be in attendance
to some of these parties. Would you spend one of those with a nice...
Man, I don't know what to do
you
with
come
that.
Through with your...
I need Terry in one of the tie joints.
With a little bolo tie.
I would never wear that tie.
But with a big-ass cowboy hat, though. I need him with that.
I'll wear a fly hat,
and
but I ain't...
spurs.
I ain't wearing spurs.
Hey, man, shouts to the homies that were way ahead of the game. John Stampson, K-Nags.
I'm telling you, they about to eat this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
And good for
them. But now they'd be like, nah, I'm not messing with
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Probably.
Because now it's popular.
Yeah,
it's so.
Like, you know, everything goes in waves, man. It's the circle. But yeah, Beyonce and her crew, there's going to be a wave. So the wave is not going nowhere. She's got two more acts or whatever it's going to be for this series.
The Hive is going to be out in full effect.
They're going to be out this summer.
With their country attire on. Mm-hmm. Better believe it. Let her announce this tour.
Let me find out Jay Moore is hosting a... It's getting 50 pieces of silver for a Beyonce themed concert.
I'll get my shekels. I ain't mad.
You have chaps on and everything
now
else.
Calm down. I still gonna be me.
He gonna be dressed like John Wayne in the party holding a mic. Come out.
Tip Willow. Tip Willow.
I'll be up there. This ain't Texas.
From me my bags.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nah, man. But that was a dope topic, man. Thank you for sharing that one alone, because he dropped some game on that, man. He broke that down.
I mean, we just kind of talked about that recently, too.
Man, no, so hip hop. I like his spin on dangerous.
And I like his. Yeah, I like the spin that he put on it.
Yeah,
we need hip hop to get back to being real baggy.
Yeah. Gotta be baggy.
Razor in the mouth.
Yeah. Bishop style.
Bishop style. Come
not
on.
Not Bishop,
man.
Birdie. I'm sorry. Birdie style. Birdie
yeah,
style.
Yeah, yeah. We need that old Prodigy Mob Deep.
I need to be afraid of rappers again. I'm not afraid of none of these rappers.
Nah, man. I need rappers that walk around with people like Wood Harris, like Motaw. And Above the Rim, I need people to walk. I need rappers to walk around with people like that. Yeah, or Weebay. I'll take
rappers.
Weebay
we're your friends with nothing to lose. That yeah. You honestly are just wild.
Weebay ain't have nothing to lose. He didn't have anything to lose.
He did. I mean, his aquariums. So.
He had his son in his aquarium, but he cared about the aquarium more. The fish than his son. From what that's what I took from my Wire experience.
He thought he was going out,
bruh. And he had fish. Fake fish or whatever it was in jail, which I thought was hilarious.
I see Bodie in BMF.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's from St. Louis.
First of all,
oh, okay. Uh oh.
In BMF, he's from St. Louis.
Yeah, I know, but they try to do that's like, based like hey, he they trying to get through her.
Yeah,
that's I was like, I almost turned the TV.
Long dialect was trash.
I was like, he was really trying to do something with that. I was like, if you're not going to do it the whole episode, don't do it.
Yeah, it was kind of hit and miss.
Had St. Louis looking a little raggedy.
Yeah, a little raggedy.
Hey, real quick though, before we get out.
Oh man, we did not talk about.
I was just about to bring it up.
Rico Wade.
Let's talk about. Rico Wade before we get out of here real quick.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Rico Wade, founder of the Dungeon Family, Organized Noise. We always talk about hip hop people or producers that have what we call family trees and trees and trees of, you know.
What kind of trees?
Man, like inspirational trees, like happy trees.
Yeah, many rings, spools. Circular rings.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to do that. But listen, Organized Noise raised me. I tell not anybody that. Organized Noise raised me. And when I saw that he passed away, that hit me a little different because I literally grew up on Outkast, and we always talk about that's something that I always bring up when I talk about them and how they evolve, especially them first three records.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised a lot of people in Atlanta, younger producers and stuff, and collaborate. I didn't realize that he collab with a lot of younger people. So I did my research, but.
I mean, he's Future's cousin.
Exactly. And Future, we always talk about Future being a part of the Dungeon Family, if it makes sense or not, but he actually is. But nah, man, legendary status, bro.
Absolutely.
Legend.
That hit me too.
Whole
because
legend.
When I talk about kind of my coming into of finding a group and sound that I really latched on to, is because of Organized Noise and Rico Wade and them.
Facts.
And so that, I mean, it's weird because we're coming to that age where pieces of us are leaving.
Yes.
I mean, and it's crazy to even think about it that way, but it's the truth of the matter. I mean, this is life.
True.
Our makeup is kind of fading away, so to speak. I mean, they left a lasting impression, but these are pieces of you that are being taken away. So I understand you feeling a certain type of way.
For sure.
Because I feel the exact same way. Shout out to him, because without him, he wouldn't have been able to talk to T-Boz, and T-Boz talked to Pebbles, and Pebbles set up that meeting with him, which in turn got Outkast on. He's literally the piece that gave the world Outkast.
Think about Waterfalls, bro, and the story behind Waterfalls and the echo that you hear on the drums. There's just a whole story behind it. But
man,
I'm just saying, like, that's one of those records where it's, I don't know, you don't think that has anything to do with or is associated with hip hop, but to your point, he was working them back channels left and right for Outkast and
for
everybody.
The South. He literally his goal was to give the world, or he actually stated New York, another interpretation of the South. He was like, because they hear
Booty
Luke
Shake
and Booty Shake and things like that. We want them to hear the heart, essentially.
Yep.
And he did that. I mean, Organized Noise is, in my opinion, one of the best production teams ever to exist in hip hop.
No question.
So definitely shout out to Rico Wade and his influence. And that Atlanta sound that he helped put on the map, and it will still remain the same.
Him, Ray Murray,
Sleepy Brown.
And I saw a picture of them in the dungeon. And, you know, we know the story. We were outside. I remember when Fab Five Freddy went to go visit them, right? And it literally was dirt on the floor when they crawled down through the little crawl space. And you look at the picture of those guys, and they're young, like early 20s, and Dre and Big Boy are like 16, 17, and they skipping school to come over there, and CeeLo is upstairs, and Cujo and Tima, like, what? Well,
they live there. A lot
they,
of them.
Yeah, like, they spent the night there. Like,
his mama was cool with everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, it was out. They pretty much was keeping each other out of trouble by doing their art.
You talk about foresight for the mom to be able to say, my boy, this boy is going to turn something into something because I got all these kids running through here and I'm feeding them. They spending the night. They're not taking showers. They staying all night. That's a one-off. I don't know if that, it doesn't have to happen now because technology and everything has evolved. But
it might be situations where that still might happen.
Maybe it is, but you don't see stuff like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's really special. Have to believe in somebody's talent.
Facts.
And because, you know, I think about my mother and the mothers I knew.
Yeah.
It was like, look, y'all just ain't going to be over here.
All the time.
Eating Popeye's chicken, making beats, and just chilling in the basement of my house, and nobody got a job.
But see, I actually knew parents that would allow that. Like, pretty much allow us to be at their house because they know that we're not in the street.
They would actually allow
people to be in their home smoking weed even. And I'm not even saying like teenagers, but like, you know what I'm saying, outside of high school. I know y'all are in the house smoking.
Better here.
I'd rather have video games in here and doing whatever you're doing in here versus being out in the street, getting caught up doing that same type of thing. So, it definitely existed then, and I'm sure it still exists now. But, I mean, what they created is something else, though.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we now?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so shout out to Rico.
You know, and it's just like, you know, I know I talk about mortality and just living your life because that's just been my experience. You know, when I see 52.
Yeah, man.
You know,
that's not old,
and I'm
man.
About to turn 47.
Yeah, that's not old.
You know,
bro.
The thing is, these are people I looked up to artistically, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, you think about these people being so much older than you, because at one point, someone being 5 years older than you, it really seemed like a big deal.
Yeah,
right.
You know, if you're 17 and somebody's 22, it's like, yo, they're living a whole nother life.
Even don't let it be 10 years.
When you're 22 and somebody's living 27, and they might have a wife and kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think, wow, this is a big deal. But now when you're 47, you see somebody pass away that is 52. It makes you feel some kind of way, and you're like, wow, every day is a day you need to cherish and understand and be thankful for.
I think we all have friends that are, they don't frequent phone calls a lot. Like, I gotta say that we got friends that I shoot a text here and there, everything's cool. Some people just don't like to talk on the phone, right?
Hi.
There we go. Lone is a prime example. I get to see Lone every week, so that offsets that, right? So I don't take that for granted because I get to see him every week. So we cool. But I have friends that are like Lone where they're not phone people, but it's still a text message here and there just to say what's up or just to check in. Because to Jay Moore's point, I told myself I have to be better at that. These are the types of things that reinforce that, where it's like, man, just reach out to somebody. If that person chooses not to respond, okay, cool. But I did my part to at least reach out to be like, yo, is everything good? Right. You don't have to call me back. We don't have to talk for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if everything is cool, just shoot your boy a line and say, yeah, man, I'm good. It's good hearing from you. Mm. I'm good with that. But y'all know what I mean when I say that, bro, because these are the types of things that put that into perspective.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Or even just, you know, beef with people that you love, right? Like, sometimes that happens and you look up and it's like, well, that person's gone. I got open-ended conversations that I didn't get a chance to finish. I don't like the feeling of that, right? So you can kind of close some of those things off. I don't know, bro. These are the types of things that make me think about that, for real.
No doubt.
52 ain't old, bro. That's not old.
No.
That's not old at all.
Once again, about to turn, you know, 47 this weekend, so 52 is not old.
That's not old, man.
It's the same with the, you know, we just talked about Cole and his retraction.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't fit right. Didn't want that energy out there.
Yeah. It's the energy.
Because what if that diss track is the last thing people know you for?
Yeah.
So I could, you know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The hip hopper in me didn't like that.
Yeah.
Right? And me and Terry, we talked, like, we were on the same page with that.
Yeah. Episode 384.
Yeah, go check it out. But, you know, I understand the morality. I understand the grown folk part of it.
Because now that he has passed away, and once again, he's, you know, we're in a situation where you could be like, is this really what we want to be doing with our lives?
Right.
When it can all be snatched away tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, do you want that to, you know, because at the end of the day, I mean, they back and forth, but all these people are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these people have worked together. Drake is on Kendrick's first commercial record. Thanks. You know, I remember Drake shouting out J. Cole, like, you know, because their albums were coming out roughly the same time.
Yeah.
You know, Drake and Ross have collaborated
multiple times.
Yeah. Great songs together.
You know.
Facts.
And so it's like, is this really what we want to be doing when it could all be snatched away from us at any given time? So honestly, now like I said, the hip hop person in me, the competitor was like, come on, Cole. But part of me was like, when I see Rico Wade just be or even Mr. C just be snatched away from us, you know, and we didn't know it was coming. And it's like, this isn't how we should be spending our time.
Yo, put some respect on Organized Noise name.
Nah, for real.
Rest in peace, Rico Wade. Because like Terry said, man, we was raised on that. So
absolutely.
Your presence is felt, my brother. So rest in peace for sure.
Yes, sir.
I think that'll do it. Did I miss anything else before we get out of here? Shout out to the chat if you stuck around. We appreciate you. Appreciate the support as always. You gentlemen got anything else to say? If not, I will get out of here.
Bong.
Bong. Yep. All right, y'all. We appreciate the support as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. See it, like it, subscribe, share. Do not forget to leave us comments and 5 stars on anything that has a rating system. Please. We really appreciate it. And we will see y'all next week.
Yep. Peace.
Bye.
Yeah.